Hello and welcome to Dune Reads Goosebumps. I am Dune, and this is part one of Deep Trouble 2 by R.L. Stine on Dune Reads Goosebumps. If you remember from a while back, the original Deep Trouble was the bane of my existence, as I had recorded like three quarters of the first half of it and wasn't really digging it, and then my hard drive crashed. So I never was able to recover it and had to re-record what I already did. And the cover of it was just so badass. It was someone swimming with a giant fucking shark. And then you read the book and it's like, oh wait, it's about mermaids. Not a totally badass shark. But luckily, Deep Trouble 2 won't have the same problem because it's probably my least favorite Goosebumps cover. It's a fish that looks like some sort of a saltwater piranha. And looks severely retarded. It's chubby. Its eyes are far apart. Its two teeth are. It's gross looking. It's an ugly ass fish, and it says something's fishy again. Good stuff, R.L. Stine. This is including this one. There's three more books left. Like complete Goosebumps. I have to read. I may go back and record some of the ones that other people did, just so I have the complete recordings by me, or mostly complete, maybe just keep the ones by my, like, real close friends, like Nick and Sam Skills and stuff, so we'll see, but I probably will still do some more Give Yourself Goosebumps. Hopefully I have enough listeners that would want to tune in, maybe if I did it bi-weekly or something, and did it on a webcam where you guys could choose the answers, that would work out, but I don't know, we'll see. We'll see what happens. What's been going on? I think the last time I recorded was like 4 days ago. So, not a lot since. Yesterday I was woken up at 3:30 in the morning by a migraine. That went miserably, and then eventually ended up somehow due to someone. I was just going to watch, but someone bailed out for the nephew's, or Connie's nephew, but I think he still calls me his uncle. His birthday party was at one of those indoor skydiving things. He was turning 10, and someone bailed, and I ended up doing that, which was the worst thing to do when my brain was already, like, bruised from the migraine. But it was all right. It was not what I was expecting, in that I think just from Gio being so excited about it and talking about it for years, I thought it was going to be more like peaceful weightlessness, but it's like the exact opposite of weightlessness, where you have gravity going from this side and the force that's blowing up at you enough to keep you afloat on the other side, and it's just kind of like a violent clusterfuck of shaking you around. But the coolest part was just watching the instructors do their thing, because they do magical-ass shit that looks like the Saruman and Gandalf fight in a Lord of the Rings, The Two Towers? Or is that in Fellowship? It doesn't matter. Anyway, yeah, not too much else is going on. Going up next week to the D'Antwoord show in L.A. Crashing there and stuff, trying to make plans for that. Currently drinking a vodka and cream soda because I am a child at heart. And a 70-year-old man at liver. Chapter number one of Deep Trouble 2 by R.L. Stine on Dune Reads Goosebumps. Who's Dune? That's me. I'm back. That's what I thought when I arrived on the Cassandra for another summer vacation. Yes, I, William Deep Jr. God damn it, I forgot his name was William Deep Jr. and it's Deep Trouble and he goes deep in the water. God damn it, R.L. Stine. Keep it collected. Let's not get mad at Deep Trouble 2. We can't just make it guilty by association with Deep Trouble 1. But it kind of is. I guess all Goosebumps are guilty at this point. World famous undersea explorer. Am back. 1 year later. 1 year wiser. 1 year tougher. 8 years fatter. Don't know how that worked out. I'm going to need a new wetsuit. I breathed in a big gulp of salty air. I gazed at the clear, green Caribbean Sea around me. My little sister, Sheena, stood beside me, but I pretended she wasn't there. She sort of ruined the atmosphere for me. She usually does. The Cassandra is my uncle's boat. It's a floating research lab. was going to be like, wait, didn't I make jokes last time about the uncle being a pedophile? And I'm like, I'm pretty sure I've made jokes about every uncle being a pedophile. I need some new goddamn jokes. I need new material. I need a new podcast. My uncle, Dr. George Deep, is a marine biologist. My parents sent me and Sheena to visit him on her summer vacation. They sent us the year before, too. Dr. D lives on the boat in the Caribbean all year long, studying tropical fish. Yeah, the tropical fish area of the local Caribbean women, am I right? He's probably just there avoiding some sort of tax issue, right? It's fun for us. We get to swim and stuff. My uncle is really nice, and my parents figure we'll learn a lot about science and ocean life when we're with him. Last summer, I made one of the most shocking discoveries in the history of marine biology. I found a mermaid. A real mermaid. No one believed me, of course. I wasn't a grown-up scientist. Most people don't believe real grown-up scientists. Like, you know, like magnets, how do they work? I don't trust them. I was a 12-year-old boy on vacation in the Caribbean. Know-it-all Sheena thought I was lying. My uncle, Dr. D, thought I was making it up. He didn't believe in mermaids until I proved him wrong. We didn't tell anyone about the mermaids. Some really bad guys wanted to capture them and put them in cages to protect the mermaids. Sheena, Dr. D, and I agreed to keep them a secret. So, the world will never know. I hope there aren't some super rad scientific advances that are just hidden to keep the public safe. I'm sure there are. I'm sure it's like, oh yeah, by the way, the entire state of California, it's sitting on a bed of propane, and if anyone lights up a cigarette, we're all gonna die. But let's not tell anyone, they'll freak out. And now I'm back, I told myself, Billy Deep, one of the greatest explorers of the seven seas. And I'm not a 12-year-old anymore. I'm 13. Whatever, I'm 30 and I'm still reading Goosebumps. And this summer, I'm going to find something big, something even more amazing than a mermaid. This time, the world will hear about it. This time, I'll be famous. I hope. Drinking break in the first chapter. Maybe I do like this one. I'm about to finish this cocktail. The coral glowed bright red. I snorkeled near it, careful not to touch it. I'd stepped on fire coral once before. It burned my foot like crazy, which is why you shouldn't step on a fire crotch either. They don't call it fire coral for nothing. I bet its opposite is water coral. Oh wait, all coral's water color. Coral. Whatever. I studied the coral wall. Neon bright fish darted in and out of the delicate holes. Yeah, I saw some of them neon fish. You thought I was going to make a delicate holes comment, but I'm not. I was going to make an I just went to Hawaii in July, oh my, reference. And I saw some of them beautiful-ass fish, and it was magical. Including the humu-humu-nuku-nuku-wap-wa-a. It was beautiful. There, under the water, everything seemed calm, quiet, peaceful. But I knew better. I was an experienced snorkeler. A snorkeling hero, the worst-selling game for the original Wii. An untrained swimmer wouldn't have noticed it. That little ripple in the water. The way all the fish suddenly disappeared. But I felt it. That whiff of danger. Something was coming. Something deadly. Chapter number 2. I whirled around and faced the intruder. A giant octopus! Whoa! The snorkel flew from my mouth as I cried out in shock. An octopus! It rose up in the water, its purple body as big as mine. I shoved the mouthpiece back into my mouth and frantically tried to thrash away from it, but before I could get moving, I felt something cold and soft wrap around my throat. Oh God, is this gonna be a dream? Is it starting out with, like, I was so excited for my trip that starts next week, my sister put her hand on my neck and woke me up on the plane. That would be a weird plane ride, though, it was a week early, but doesn't matter. Oh! A tentacle as thick as a human arm. Its suction pod snapped to my skin. It started to pull me down. No, I don't want to blow you, octopus, not again! gasping for breath. I lifted my head out of the water and let out a choked cry for help. I felt another cold tentacle slide around my waist and then another around my chest. I thrashed and kicked, but the huge creature was too powerful. The big suction pods made loud sucking sounds as they tightened against my skin. The tentacles pulled me, until everything went black. Black. Blacker than Norwegian black metal. Blacker than the BET Awards. No, no, I wasn't losing consciousness. The blackness that washed around me was octopus ink. Owski ink, ski ink, ski ink. I shut my eyes, twisted and squirmed, but the tentacles pulled harder, pulled me down into the inky blackness. I choked and sputtered and started up to the surface. The water tossed and churned, black with octopus ink. The big suction pods bit into my bare skin. The tentacles tightened around my ribs, my stomach. I couldn't breathe, couldn't move. I'm going under. I realized I'm doomed. Doomed! Invader Zim comment that I don't want to make because Invader Zim's been ruined by everyone, even though it probably isn't very good. And if I watched it right now, I'd be like, man, this is terrible, but I really liked Jonah Vasquez when I was a kid, so never mind. My lungs felt about to explode, and not from the Jonah Vasquez tirade, but from the octopus. No, I thought, I can't die. Not like this. I ain't going out like this. There must be a way to make the octopus let go. With the last burst of strength, I slid my right arm free. Now what? Now what? I stretched a finger toward its throbbing purple belly. Red and yellow stars flashed before my eyes. I knew I had little time. I was about to pass out any second. I reached toward the big, throbbing body. With my last bit of strength, I wriggled my fingers. Please let this work, I prayed. Please. Then I started tickling. A goochie goochie goo. Are you like that octopus? It's probably gonna pee on him. Chapter number 3. My fingers tickled the purple belly. Tickle, tickle. The octopus squirmed. Tickle, tickle. The tentacles relaxed. Yes, yes, it was working. The octopus was ticklish. That sounds like some weird military code. Its big body heaved, and it shoved me away. Stop it, Billy. The octopus whined. I hate your stupid joke. Stop tickling me. Then the octopus pinched me. Okay, so it wasn't an octopus. It was my little sister, Sheena. Just like Dune said. God damn it, Arlstein. Why do you have to do this to me? I'm getting out of this abusive relationship. I'm not going to read these forever, okay? Fucking A. Sheena always spoils my fun. She has no imagination. She hates to pretend. Well, it's true that she doesn't look much like an octopus. She looks a lot like me, actually. Skinny, with straight black hair. Ooh, maybe they're Filipino. Hers is long, mine is short.
But he's talking about dicks.
We both have dark blue eyes and bushy, dark eyebrows, like a Kardashian. She's younger than I am. She's only 11, but she acts like an old lady sometimes. She hates games. She likes cold, hard facts. What are you pretending this time? Sheena teased. That you were a ticklefish? None of your business, I answered. She would never admit that I was a great undersea explorer. Had she forgotten about the mermaids? It didn't matter. Our little sisters look up to their subject. Let me ask more as Budweiser. I switched to this because I'm like, it's early and I don't want Connie coming home like, well, I thought you said you were going to make dinner, but you're just drunk and yelling about R.L. Stein. Other little sisters look up to their big brothers, not Sheena. If I told her I was pretending she was an octopus, she'd never stop teasing me. You're a moron, Billy, she groaned, as Dune had done dozens of times to his friend Billy. Do you believe she calls a great undersea explorer a moron? I'll show you, I replied lamely. I love to play tricks on Sheena. It isn't easy to fool her, but I had an idea. I thought of a mean trick to play on her that would scare the shit out of her so good. I swam back to the boat. I flipped my mask up and climbed aboard the Cassandra. It was a big, sturdy boat, about 50 feet long, with a large, open deck. Below deck were research labs, a galley, and a few cabins for sleeping, and rum sodomy in the lash. The white deck steamed in the sun, deserted. It was about noon, deck to D. Must be down below, I realized perfect. I didn't want him to see me and blow my trick. I reached under a stack of life jackets. I pulled out a square, gray vinyl pillow I'd hidden there. I stared out toward the reef. Sheena was busy snorkeling and not being an asshole, unlike me. She wasn't looking. Good. Here was my plan. I was going to swim underwater, holding the gray pillow over my head. I'd hold it so one of the corners pointed up, you guessed it, like a shark's fin. God, sharks are cool. I texted Connie earlier today. I was like, we need to go to fucking SeaWorld because your man needs to see some fucking sharks right now because sharks are cool as shit. Then I'd swim at Sheena as fast as I could. She'd think a shark was headed straight for her. It would scare her to death. I couldn't wait to hear her scream to me for help. We'll see who's a moron, I murmured to myself and continued to be a moron. I slipped back into the water, holding the pillow in shark fin position. I started kicking. I swam underwater toward the reef, toward Sheena. After a few minutes, I bobbed up for breath. She hadn't seen me yet. Holding the shark fin high, I paddled closer, closer. Then I heard them. At last, the screams. Shark! Sheena wailed. Help a shark! Ha, ha. Excellent screaming, Sheena. I finally fooled Miss Know-It-All. Shark! She wailed again. I couldn't stay underwater any longer. I had to rise up so I could laugh in her face. I popped my head above the water. Hey, Sheena was swimming frantically toward the boat. She was still screaming like crazy, but she wasn't looking in my direction. She hadn't even seen me. Shark! She cried again. She made a frightened motion toward the reef. I saw it too. A huge shark fin. A real one. Good. This is like the boy who, you know, the boy called Wolf, but he made people call Wolf, and he wasn't a wolf, and it was in the water, and it was a shark, and he was an asshole, and nobody liked him, and nobody likes the Deep Trouble series. That's what I say. Chapter number 4. Huh? I let out a terrified gasp. That didn't sound terrified. Huh? Was that more terrified? I don't know. I'm not scared right now. I should just examine where my life's going. Huh? There. Excellent. Super terrified. The shark was as big as a whale. Might be a whale shark. Just filling in on that one. Where did it come from? Dr. D had told us there were no large sharks in the area. I guess no one told the shark. It rose up, tossed by a wave. And I gaped at its silvery white body as long as a canoe. That doesn't seem super huge for a shark, and definitely seems small for a whale. It snapped its massive jaws. The crack echoed over the water, like the crack epidemic echoed over Harlem. Whoa! I let go of the pillow and paddled for the boat as fast as I could. My heart raced. The water felt as thick as mud. Why couldn't I swim faster? Hurry, Billy! Sheena called. I glanced back. The gigantic gray fin cut through the water like a powerboat. The shark sped straight for us. Swim, I ordered myself. Faster, faster. You could probably swim faster if you don't hold your head above water to yell at yourself. Sheena and I thrashed toward the boat. I didn't glance back again. I didn't want to see how close the big shark was. Gasping, my entire body ached. I reached the Cassandra. I grabbed the side. Almost safe. Almost. Sheena scrambled up the ladder ahead of me. Hurry! I shouted. I clutched the ladder and glanced back. The shark roared closer. So close, I could see its glassy black eyes and its mouth full of jagged teeth. Hey, you know it'd be a good job being an orthodontist for sharks, because as soon as you straighten them teeth out, they would fall out and they'd be like, fuck, I need some straight ass teeth, and they'd do it again. I'm just saying, shark orthodontist, good gig. Sheena, go! I screamed. I shoved her up on the deck and scrambled up the ladder. We made it, Sheena gasped. Gasping for breath, my chest heaved, I stared over the rail. The shark kept coming, like a submarine with teeth that was only the size of a canoe, apparently. No! I let out a hoarse wail as the huge fish, it's not a fish, it's a shark, idiot, slammed into the side of the boat. No! The boat rocked and tilted. I guess no one should come a-knocking, huh? I grabbed the rail and held on like a stripper. Hold on, Sheena, I shouted, it's attacking. I braced myself for another jolt. Nothing happened. The shark disappeared into the churning water. Dr. D appeared on deck, looking confused. What's going on? He cried. Sheena and I ran to him, screaming, a shark, a shark. Say what? Dr. D stared out to the sea. And what did he see in the sea? I don't know. Just listen to me. The water gleamed calmly now. Soft waves splashed against the side of the boat. The monster shark had vanished. Billy, there's nothing out there, baby. What are you talking about? Dr. D demanded. There was a shark, a huge shark. It chased us, Sheena cried breathlessly. It crashed into the boat. A shark, baby? Dr. D shook his head. No way. No way a shark could make this boat rock like that. Only me and my love-making prowess can do that. Oh, 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 Dr. D. But it was huge. Me too, baby, I screamed. It was as big as 10 sharks. It was as big as 20 sharks, Sheena exclaimed. Dr. D rubbed his bald spot. I told you two before, baby. I checked the radar. I checked out all my sonic surveyors. There are no large sharks in this here area. He stared me in the eye and asked, are you sure, Billy? Are you sure you saw yourself a shark? We're sure, Sheena insisted. We both knew he'd believe her before he'd believe me. Why would he not believe him? He's the one who fucking found mermaids for the first time in human history. Come down to the lab with me, kids, Dr. D said. We followed him below deck to one of his labs. Not his meth lab, his science lab. Dr. D pointed to a large tank in the corner. It held a silvery fish the size of a big dog. Not a little dog like you, Franklin. That's stupid. Come here, Franklin. I love you. Sheena gasped. Wow, I've never seen a fish like that before. Neither have I, Dr. D said solemnly. That's what bothers me. I stared at the fish as it swam around the tank. It sort of looked familiar, but I didn't know why. I can't identify that fish right there, Dr. D went on. I've never seen a fish this size that looks like this. I've been searching through all my books and a couple of ladies, but I can't find nothing. He pointed to a stack of books on marine biology. I picked one up and flipped through it. It had page after page of cool color photos of all kinds of fish. Man, I wish I was reading that book instead of this one. I could just describe fish to you people, even though I don't understand colors very well. Dr. D glanced over my shoulder as I examined the book. It can't be in that section, Billy. He told me all them fish are tiny. I turned a page, looking for the big fish section. Then I turned another page and gasped. Did he find out exactly what he was looking for while looking in three pages of the book that the guy had laying out? Dr. D gripped my shoulder as he stared down at the photo with me. No, no, motherfucking no way, he cried. It can't be. It cannot be. Chapter number 5. We crowded around the book, staring at the photo. It showed a fish exactly like the one in the tank, thin, silvery. But there was one huge difference. It's a minnow? Dr. D exclaimed, but that's a impossibility. I read the words under the picture. Tropical minnow, 1 inch long. I glanced at the fish in the tank. It was more than 4 feet. Maybe it's just like sometimes tanks make things look big and shit. Like objects are larger than they appear. It's not a joke. I'm just saying, you look in a fish tank, then you look on top of it, and it looks completely different. Dr. D's eyes narrowed as he studied the fish. How could a minnow get so big-o? He wondered aloud. I must examine it more closely and sensually. Sheena and I stood behind him, because you do not want to be in front of that man. He studied the picture of the minnow through a magnifying glass. Then he turned to the giant minnow, staring at its scales, checking every mark. The markings are exactly the same, Dr. D murmured. Can I look through the magnifying glass? Sheena acts like a total fucking nerd. Sure thing, chicken wing. Dr. D passed the glass to her. A minnow, Dr. D murmured. How can this fish be a minnow? It's supposed to be as small as a goldfish, Billy. My goldfish? Whoops, I cried. I forgot to feed my goldfish this morning. Better go do it, Dr. D said, clearly very concerned about the health and well-being of the goldfish. I started toward the lab door. On my way, I spotted a cabinet filled with glass bottles. Oh, that must lead to the meth lab. What's in these, Dr. D? I asked for some reason in my uncle's voice. He turned away from the monster minnow. Monster minnow, thank you. To look. Oh, that's a pliggity-iggity plankton, he replied. It's made of tiny little plants and animals that clump together and float around in the water. Lots of fish eat it. I gathered these samples from the waters around here. I picked up a bottle. All I could see was murky brown water with greenish-brown gunk floating on top, like some sort of disgusting swamp or the result of swamp ass. Sheena turned the magnifying glass on the plankton. Gross, she said. Go ahead and take a bottle, Billy. It works better than Spanish fly, Dr. D suggested. Feed some to your goldfish. They'll love it. Thanks, Dr. D. Clutching the bottle, I headed down the passageway to my cabin. As soon as I pushed open the door, I said, Hello, little fish faces. I've got a delicious surprise for you. But the fish had a bigger surprise for me. Way bigger. I stared at the fishbowl and nearly dropped the bottle of plankton. Then I screamed, No, Dios mios, mija! I burst out of the cabin. Help! Help, Dr. D! I cried. There's a head, someone's head, in my fishbowl! Oh, no. It's like that, what is it, the Jay Giles band song with the anchovies and calling the number and the wife is a bowling ball. This is all an obscure-ass reference. I need to look up the name of the song, but I didn't know what it was until I asked my dad recently because we listened to it when we were in Mexico when I was a kid and he was racing in the Baja 1000. And I was driving, I guess, with my mom, maybe, and that album was playing in his truck. And it fucking, the song just horrified me. It was, what is that? Okay, just give me a second. Jay Giles band song, anchovies, bowling ball. There it is. No Anchovies, Please, by the Jay Giles band off the album Love Stinks. Yeah, yeah. Listen to that. The point is, I heard that as a kid, and it was like in Mexico and weird, along with me watching Child's Play in Spanish, and then that blew my mind too. It was just a fucking weird time, like weird acid trip kid time. I don't know. Chapter number 6. Dr. D and Sheena hurried out of the lab. I glanced back at my cabin door and oof, slammed right into Sheena, like some sort of shitty college two-person mosh pit. Ow, she whined. Watch it, Billy. Billy, what's wrong? Asked Dr. D. Ahead, I gasped, pointing frantically to my cabin. I struggled to breathe. My stomach lurched. Oh, wow, oh, wow, there's a human head in my fishbowl. Dr. D frowned and charged into my room. Sheena and I followed. He pushed open the door and stopped short with a gasp. See? I shouted. The head stared at us, eyes open through the glass. If only the head in the jar was a dream. That was a Cure reference. How could Dr. D and Sheena stand to look at? It was making me sick. I gulped and turned away. Sheena giggled. Giggled? What's the matter with you, Sheena? I demanded. What's so funny? She crossed the room and reached into the fishbowl. Sheena, no! I warned. Don't touch it. Sheena laughed and lifted the head out by the hair. Then she waved the head, dripping with water. Oh, no, I groaned. I stared at the head in horror. I could see it clearly now. I could see that it wasn't a human head after all. It was a large doll's head, possibly from one of Dr. D's dozens of real dolls he keeps aboard. Got you back, Sheena taunted. Got you back for all the tricks you've been playing on me all summer. Dr. D grinned. You almost fooled Dr. D, too, he confessed. The water in the fishbowl made the doll's head look bigger than it is. Good one, Sheena. Just like Dune pointed out regarding the minnow, that it may actually just be bigger due to the tank wall, but he didn't form that thought very well. Thanks, Dr. D. Sheena took a little bow. Thanks, Dr. D. I'll take a bow, too. My face felt hot. I knew I was blushing. I was so embarrassed. It just isn't like me to fall for such a stupid joke. Besides, I'm supposed to be the joker, not Sheena. She can be the smoker or the midnight toker, whatever she wants to be, but I am the joker. I stared into the tank. Something was missing. Hey, I said, where are my goldfish and where's my snail? Sheena shrugged. I grabbed her by the neck. What did you do with them? Okay, don't worry, she said. She pushed me away. I put them in a smaller bowl and left them in the bathroom. Well, get them, I was insistent. I was really angry. I'm going, Sheena said. She brought my fish and my snail back, and I gently returned them to the bowl. Don't ever touch them again, I told my sister. I don't want anything to happen to them. I watched the fish swim around for a minute. They didn't look right. I shook my head. Something's the matter with them, I said. Maybe they're dead or inbred. Or unwed and living together in sin. No, I don't know. I was just going with a rhyme scheme. Give them a little plankton, Billy. Give him a little plankton, Billy, Dr. D suggested. That ought to perk them right up. I grabbed the glass bottle and pulled off the stopper. I poured a little of the slimy gunk into the bowl. The fish darted to the surface and started eating. They looked much happier. Wow, I said. They love it. I thought they would, Dr. D smiled, but his eyes clouded over with worry. Now, kids, no more jokes, please. I've got to get back to the lab to examine that giant minnow, and I don't want to be disturbed. We'll be quiet, Sheena promised. Dr. D hardly seemed to hear. There's something strange going on here, he murmured. Something very, very strange. Little did we know, shit was about to get much stranger.
Uh-oh, it's gonna be like Stranger Things, because it said things instead of strange, and that show's good, and I was like, man, I should go as Dustin for Halloween and wear a mouth guard, and it'll be funny and cool and stuff, and I get that red, white, and blue hat, and then I was like, man, I don't know if I want to do that. Maybe I'll just be Crooked Hillary. Am I right? I don't know. Who knows?
Chapter number 7, Connie's on her way home. I think I'll try to keep recording and not be a crazy person who can only do things alone.
I paced the deck, thinking hard. I was dying to get Sheena back for that stupid doll trick. She seemed nervous for the rest of the afternoon, waiting for me to strike. But I hadn't thought of anything good yet, because I was an idiot. I'd spent all night thinking.
until I fell asleep. So you thought for like, what, 10 minutes?
Now, it was the next day. Sheena's guard was down. Maybe she'd forgotten that she'd been the last one to play a trick on me. And tricks are for kids. And now it was her turn to be fooled. What would make her hair stand on end? I wondered. What would scare her so much she'd scream her head off? The shark trick with the pillow had backfired, so I really owed her two tricks. Maybe I could leave something gross in her bed. Totally Godfather derivative. The morning sun beat down on me. Summer days were ha, ha, ha in the Caribbean, according to Buster Poindexter, which Dune spent goddamn hours the other day trying to find a Buster Poindexter album. So Buster Poindexter has four albums, right? I think the first one just called Ha Ha Ha, and then Buster's Happy Hour, and then, then Buster Goes Berserk, then Buster's Happy Hour, then, what is it? Buster's Spanish Rocket Ship? Right? But Buster's Happy Hour isn't released on digital or vinyl, so it's only cassette and CD, which I don't really have things to play them, and it's fucking hard to find. I want the goddamn album, so I looked all over to find a copy of it. Still couldn't online, and people linked me to it, but there's passwords, and it just went terribly. Point is, I love Buster Poindexter. I started to get a headache, but I finally thought of something good to do to Sheena. I grabbed my snorkeling gear and pulled it on. I decided to sneak off and explore a little. Dr. D wanted us to stay close to the boat, but he didn't want to be disturbed. So snorkeling seemed like a good idea. Mask and snorkel in place, I started down the boat ladder. Caught you! Sheena's squeaky voice pierced my eardrums. She was always catching me doing something.
Like that one time she caught me in the bathroom because I didn't lock the door. God damn it.
Where are you going? She demanded. Dr. D says to stay close. I won't go far, I insisted. I'm hot and bored.
It's me, you, and me both, you know? Because I'm sexually attractive, but I'm also bored with this book. Just kidding. We're all going to get through it together.
I can't sit on deck for another second. Then I'm coming with you. She snatched up her gear and started tugging it on. I dropped off the ladder and into the water. She slipped in beside me. We shouldn't be doing this, she whispered. What if that shark comes back? That shark is gone, I said. Don't worry. Nothing bad will happen. Promise? She asked, pulling down her mask. Yeah, sure. I promise, I said. It was a peaceful, sunny day. The waves were as gentle as a lake. What could happen?
I don't know, probably something of that weird fish on the cover of the book. I guess the cover of the book's a bad indication because fucking mermaids rather than sharks.
Sheena and I swam out over the sunlit, gleaming water. We thought we'd see lots of pretty little fish. We found something else. Something we never expected in a million years! Oh my goodness! This is the 8th chapter of the book. I dunked Sheena's head under the water. When she popped back up for air, I shouted, Shark! Shark! Sheena conked me on the head with her fist. Don't even joke about it, Billy. Still, I caught her glancing around nervously. I scanned the horizon too. No signs of a fin anywhere.
You got fins to the left, fins to the right. Am I right? That's some Jimmy Buffett who's, I think, playing in town maybe tonight? Tomorrow? I'm not going to go because it's part of some big festival, but I fucking love Jimmy Buffett.
A school of lemon yellow fish drifted by, glowing like little suns in the water. Swimming slowly, I followed them to the coral reef. Wow, I thought. The coral made a cool shape at that spot. The fish swam through a big pink ring of coral and around a pointy coral peak. Sunlight filtered down on it through the water. It looked like a tower of a magic sand castle where tiny little sand people would live, and the tiny little king in the sand castle would oppress the tiny little sand people and use their women and steal from them. It was an atrocity. A tiny crab popped up out of one of the holes in the coral tower. Maybe he's the one that can finally take down the godforsaken king. It saw me coming and disappeared. The yellow fish suddenly rose to the surface, up to a plankton bed that floated on top of the water. The plankton looked just like the stuff Dr. D kept in those bottles in his lab. I watched the fish nip at the plankton, just as my goldfish did. I surfaced and spit my snorkel out. "Sheena, check this out," I called. No answer. "Sheena." I saw a splash on the other side of the reef. Another splash. I glimpsed Sheena's flippers as they slapped the water. I swam after her. She had her head down, snorkeling. She must have been watching something very closely. She swam fast, kicking her fins in a rapid, steady rhythm. "Sheena," I called again. She couldn't hear me. She wouldn't hear me if I swam up beside her and screamed. She's like that sometimes. Like when she's doing her homework. She gets into... Fucking Christ, I need a drink. Wait up 1 second. She gets so into it, she blocks everything out. I wish I could do that. Of course, she gets straight A's. Well, I don't get straight A's, but I need AA. Is that close enough? Why is the Wii U controller on? Has that been on all day? I just see Pikachu floating there. I gotta check that out. My mom and dad are constantly bragging about it. I sighed and paddled after her. I had to get to her. She was swimming out to sea without even realizing it. I watched her through my mask as I swam. What was that up ahead of her? Dune read like William Shatner. A patch of cloudy water? Whoa, no, not water. I'd never seen anything like it before. Sheena didn't seem to see it. She was swimming steadily straight forward, and to my horror, it began to move. I blew water from my snorkel tube and squinted hard through the mask. The thing drifted closer. It was pink and rubbery, like a soft blob of bubbly-dubbly gum. It billowed toward Sheena, and as I stared at it, it appeared to stretch. It billowed and stretched, billowed out like a pink parachute. Dune had used the word billowed more than he'd ever done in his life until it was bigger than Sheena. God damn that billowing, it's impressive. What is that thing? I wondered. Sheena turned around. Didn't she see it? Didn't she see it expanding, curling out, stretching in front of her, possibly billowing? Sheena, don't turn around. JK, turn around. Turn around. I wanted to shout, but I couldn't shout underwater, stupid physics. I thrashed hard, kicking, spun around, desperate to get her attention. Sheena, turn around, I thought. Get away from that thing. Get away now. But she kept her head down and swam straight into the billowy pink blob. And as I stared on helplessly, it wrapped itself around her like an enormous pink clam. It opened wide, wider, and slipped itself around her. And that's how you become a lesbian. Just kidding. Held her tight, pulled her inside, and swallowed her. Chapter number 9. Yeah, I switched back to cocktails, so my voice got all smooth and sensual. For a moment, I froze in terror. Then I pulled myself to the surface, tossed off the mask, and started to swim toward her. I splashed across the water, racing toward the pink blob. It writhed and wriggled with my sister inside it. Oh no, I think that's what they call scissoring. What is it? I wondered. What can it be? And then, as I pulled myself closer, I knew what it was. I was staring at a jellyfish. A jellyfish bigger than a human. Think of the fattiest fatso you've ever fatted. Well, it was that fat. Fat ass fat jellyfish fatty. What? Whoa, I could see through it. I saw the white, filmy slime and red veins that made it look pink. And Sheena, trapped inside. Poor Sheena. Squirming, kicking, slapping at the gooey pink sides of the creature. Her face pushed up against the veiny jellyfish skin. That's called the labia majiminora. What? Through her mask, I saw her eyes wide with terror like an anime character. The ugly creature wrapped around her like a slimy blanket, covering her whole body. She pushed both fists against the filmy pink curtains.
Really? This is too easy. I'm not going to do it.
No more vagina comments. I knew she didn't have much air left in her lungs. I had to do something, but what? Sheena's face twisted in panic. I'll have to pry it open somehow, I decided. I swam up to the wriggling blob. I tried to grab its side. Ugh, my hands slid right off. I grabbed for it again. No way. I couldn't get a grip on it. It was like squeezing jello. Its skin slapped against me, so slimy and sticky. Sheena stared out at me, eyes bulging with terror. I tried to wrestle the ugly creature. I dug my fingernails into it. It wriggled and throbbed, but it didn't open. Then I realized what I had to do. The thought made me want to puke, but I had no other choice. Sheena couldn't hold out much longer. I had to slide inside the jellyfish myself. Ew, that's how babies are made. I had to get in there somehow and pull Sheena out. I swallowed. My stomach lurched. I lowered my head and dove for the seam. The opening where the disgusting pink blob had folded itself in half. Here goes, I told myself. I'm going inside.
Man, R.L. Stine really needs to work out his issues with women that are coming through very clearly in this book. I'm going to go really quick and trim the little hairs on my mustache that are touching my lip that are tickling me every time I get excited and open my mouth too much.
Chapter number 10. Someone said they're going to call me back in 3 minutes, but this is a short chapter, so we'll see what happens. Singing's not helping. I worked my hands inside first. Then I lowered my head and pulled myself in. The slime oozed across my face like a Nickelodeon program in 1994. The red veins rubbed my skin raw. I held my breath and worked my way toward Sheena's feet. If I could make it halfway in and grab her feet, maybe I could yank her out. The blob pulsed erotically, sucking me deep inside extra erotically. I inched in, 4 inches to be exact, stretching toward Sheena's foot. My lungs were ready to burst. I couldn't hold my breath much longer. Closer. Closer. Aha. My fingers closed around Sheena's flipper. I tugged hard. Harder. She started to move. No. Oh no. Sheena's flipper. It came off in my hand. I let go of the flipper and reached up a little higher and higher. I grabbed her foot like weird dudes are into doing to Asian girls and tugged. Sheena slipped down a little. I yanked on her foot again. Come on, I thought, move. But this time, Sheena didn't budge. The sticky pink skin tightened around us. My insides felt as if they were about to explode. The jellyfish squeezed us tighter and tighter. It was squeezing us to death. Hey, I made it through. No problem. Rad.
The 11th chapter.
I ain't gonna wait around for people to call me. I'm just gonna keep moving on. I couldn't move. But Dune could, he could keep moving on. My mind raced. How can I get out of here? How? There was no way. We were doomed. I'm going to black out, I realized. Why, because I switched back to cocktails? I'll be fine. Another second without air, and suddenly, the jellyfish loosened its jelly grip. With a horrible sucking noise, it peeled apart.
Nah. See? That's what happens. Alright, wait up.
Alright, I'm back. It opened. I didn't waste time. I grabbed Sheena and hauled her up. Up. Up to the surface. We burst out of the water, gasping for air like a fart bubble in a bath. We made it. I sucked in a huge gulp of air. Ugh, tastes like fart. It was great to breathe again either way. The blue faded from Sheena's face as the color came back to her cheeks. Are you okay? I asked her. She nodded, still struggling to catch her breath. You sure? Can you talk? She nodded again. Yes, Billy. I'm just great. I've never been better. I knew she was fine. Her old smart mouth was working perfectly. What happened? I cried. Why did the jellyfish let us go? Sheena shrugged it. She peered down through the clear water. The jellyfish floated a few feet below us, and as we stared down at it, we saw why it forgot about us. We saw another enormous pink shape slither and slide toward the first one. It stretched out in the water as if spreading its wings like R. Kelly in a cornfield, and then it tried to wrap the other jellyfish inside of it. The two ugly creatures slapped together. Bull Dykes. The collision sent up a wave that tossed Sheena and me back. When I gazed down again, they were wrestling, folding into each other. This is so... There's no way this isn't intentional, right? Anyway, I'll just keep going. Folding into each other, slapping and twisting, struggling to fold the other inside, to swallow it whole. Another sticky slap. Another... Like, I feel like this book is the reason that this got canceled. As they struggled, the water churned and swirled. The jellyfish monsters broke apart and slammed into each other again. Huge waves churned up around us. We've got to get back to the boat, I yelled. A wave slapped the side of my head. I choked and spit out a mouthful of seawater. We struggled to swim against the waves, but they kept knocking us down and pulling us out to sea. The water was so white and foamy and frothy, it tasted like seawater and bleach. We couldn't see the jellyfish fight anymore, but we could feel them. Another wave crashed down on us. I glanced around. Sheena! She was Ghana. Not the country in Africa. Like, she was gone. I just added to it. Like, Sheena. Like, I don't know. I frantically searched through the foam. Like those weird, gross foam parties they used to throw in the late 90s and early 2000s. But the foam always was, like, brown by the end. It was ridiculous. People need to stop taking so much ecstasy. Sheena! Has she gone underwater? Crash! Another wave. Sheena, where are you? I wailed. She popped up at last, sputtering and choking. I grabbed her and battled against the waves. I fought my way out of the wake of the jellyfish fight. A few seconds later, Sheena and I dragged ourselves aboard the Cassandra. That was so weird, Sheena said after we both had caught our breaths. Those jellyfish, they were as big as cars. As big as Dune's sweet new Crown Victoria Police Interceptor. Bam, that car's sweet. We've got to tell Dr. D about this right away, I exclaimed. We ran down to the lab. No sign of Dr. D in there. Dr. D! I kicked a called. Where are you? I'll check the galley, Sheena said. I hurried to see if my uncle was in his cabin. No. The tiny room stood empty. He's not in the galley, Sheena cried. I don't see him anywhere. Dr. D, I shouted. Dr. D! Franklin, you're looking cute. What are you doing, Papa? No reply. Sheena's chin quivered. I knew she was scared. It was impossible, but true. He's gone, I cried.
Chapter number 12.
A pang ripped through my stomach. Not a tiny Asian man, but just a random pain. Dr. D had just vanished. Sheena and I were alone in the middle of the sea. What are we going to do? I asked softly. Don't panic, Sheena said, having read Dune's favorite book series. But her voice shook. Think, where could he go? Know what? Maybe he just went for a swim. A swim? A swim! I cried, my voice rising.
We probably would have seen him. Besides, since when does Dr. D just go for a swim? Never!
Well, there's always a first time, Sheena suggested, trying to kiss her brother. Her eyes darted around nervously. I could see her thinking, trying to stay calm. Maybe he went out in the dinghy, she suggested. I like that he's probably just in there pooping while his nephew and niece are just yelling for him. I thought there was like a cumulative word for nieces and nephews, but I guess there isn't. Dr. D kept a small boat on deck for short trips. Let's see if it's gone. Maybe he went out to look for us. Good idea. At least it was something. A little hope to cling to, like Jack clung to that door at the end of Titanic. We hurried up to the deck. I crossed my fingers, throwing up a west side, hoping to find the dinghy gone. If the little boat was gone, that meant Dr. D was probably okay. He'd be back soon. But if the dinghy was still tied to the deck, and Dr. D wasn't on the Cassandra, then what? I raced to the back deck and around to the right. In boat terms, I think that's starboard. Let's find out. Yeah, starboard is right. Look at old Dune. Oh no, I sighed. The dinghy sat in its usual spot. Dr. D had not taken it out. Billy, I'm scared, Sheena whispered. I was scared too, but I didn't want to admit it. Not yet, anyway. Let's check Airy Cabin again, I suggested. Maybe he's in the bathroom, like Dune said. Or something, maybe pounding off. Maybe he just didn't hear us calling him because he has earplugs in because all we do is yell, 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 Dr. D this, Dr. D that. Sheena followed me downstairs that led to the below deck. Halfway down, the railing rattled in my hand. Cut it out, Sheena, I snapped. Cut what out? She cried. Now, the whole stairway shook. What was she doing? Jumping up and down? I turned around to check. She stood perfectly still. See? I'm not doing anything. The boat shook and tilted. Maybe it's a perfect storm, like the movie Perfect Storm. I clutched the rail to keep from falling over. What's happening? I cried, yelling out the name of my favorite 70s sitcom.
Chapter number 13.
It's an earthquake, Sheena shrieked. How can it be an earthquake? I told her we're on the water, remember? Water's not on Earth, it's a separate thing. We ran down the steps. The boat tilted and we both banged hard, yeah, into the cabin wall. We passed the lab. The bottles of plankton rattled in the cabinet. Everything rattled. I heard glasses breaking in the galley. Wait. There better not be any goddamn monster blood in the plankton that's making everything big. I will be annoyed by that. Why is there a spider crawling on my leg? Now there isn't. I turned down the passage to my cabin, but I couldn't get by. Something blocked my path. Something. A scream escaped my throat before I could stop it. What is that thing? I cried. Sheena caught up with me. Huh? What thing? And then she saw it too. It was hard to miss. A monster. A big creature blocked the passage. It was shiny and black and smooth. Like Flavor Flav covered in Vaseline. And almost perfectly round. Oh, like Bruce covered in Vaseline. I kid, it's something else. It sat in a disgusting puddle of thick white slime. Ugh. I'd never seen... Franklin, be nice to the cats. I'd never seen anything like it before, except something about it looked familiar. What is it? Sheena choked out. The monster stirred. It shook, and then its head poked out, long, dripping and gray, like an enormous slug with two antennas sticking up out of it. Billy, Sheena grabbed my sleeve. It's... I think it's a snail. Connie has pet snails, and I don't get it. They do weird shit, and they have these weird tubes that stick out of them, and they leave these weird snail eggs, and they're big. I don't get it. I don't get it at all. I just like my mammals, right, Scarlet? Good girl. You're right, I muttered back. It is a snail, a gigantic monster snail. How did it get on the boat? Sheena demanded. How did it grow so big? I added. It's blocking the entire passage. Slowly, slowly, the snail lifted its slimy head. It trained its big, sad, watery eyes on us and moaned,
Help me! Help me!
It cried. Chapter number 14. Yay! Sheena screamed and clutched my hand. I screamed back.
Like the Scream video with Michael Jackson and Janet Jackson, because it's siblings screaming on some sort of weird vessel that's not on Earth. I get it, because then whatever. I screamed back, "It's talking! Kids, help!" The snail moaned again. "No, it's talking, it's talking, it's gross!"
"Billy, calm down,"
the snail scolded.
"Stop screaming, I need help."
Apparently that's what snails sound like in my world. Sheena and I both gasped. We both realized that the snail wasn't talking. It was Dr. D. Okay, I figured out what the snail's gonna sound like now.
"I'm trapped under the snail,"
he choked out.
"Can't breathe. Get me out. Hurry, baby."
Dr. D's hand waved weakly from under the big snail. His fingers... sorry, it's in my mouth. ...were dripping with thick white slime.
"The slime, it's as thick as shaving cream," I murmured. "Kids, hurry. I can't breathe under here. The slime is going up my nose, and I kind of sound like disco stew."
"What should we do, Dr. D?"
Sheena asked. He didn't reply.
"He's suffocating," I cried. "He's drowning in snail slime."
That's a terrible way to go. Also, isn't this suspiciously like the chapter two chapters before?
A groan floated out from under the monstrous snail shell. "We've got to hurry," Sheena cried.
"I'll tilt the snail over," I told Sheena. "You pull Dr. D out."
"Okay." Dr. D moaned. "Ooh, ah, ah, baby."
We're coming," I cried.
I pushed the shell. It was heavy. It didn't move.
"Try harder, Billy."
Sheena stood by, ready to grab Dr. D and pull him out. I lowered my shoulder and threw my weight against the snail. "It's not budging."
"I have an idea," Sheena said. "The slime."
"Huh? What about it?"
"The slime can help us," she explained.
She stood behind the snail.
"Let's both push the snail from behind. Maybe the slime will make it slide right off him."
I heard Dr. D choking under the snail. He was swallowing slime.
"Ugh, gross."
I started to gag, but I swallowed hard. Held my breath, forced the nausea away. Sheena and I planted our feet behind the snail.
1, 2, 3, push,
she yelled. We threw our weight against the snail. It slid a little bit.
1 more time, go.
We pushed again.
Feel the rhythm, feel the rhyme. Look out now, it's snail pushing time.
The snail slowly slid off Dr. D's body. It hit the floor with a heavy thud. How did he get tackled by a snail in the first place? We need to get this information. Dr. D slowly climbed to his Dr. feet. He was covered with Dr. Sticky white goop from head to his cool-ass toes. He coughed and spat out a big glob of slime.
"Not tasty," he muttered, shaking his head.
"Dr. D, what happened?"
I asked. He smeared the gunk from his eyes.
"I don't know. All of a sudden, the boat started shaking and rumbling. I fell down, and the next thing I knew, boom, I felt this giant snail on top of me. I'm used to slimy things crawling on top, but this was absurd."
I glanced at the snail. It stood quietly in the passageway, oozing slime. Where did it come from? And how did the snail get so big? Well, it got big from the plankton you fed it. Is your snail in your tank, obviously, idiot.
It seemed to come out of thin air, Dr. D said, and I like my air with a little curve to it.
It looks like a lot like the snail from my fishbowl, I offered, but my snail is tiny. It's the size of a fingernail.
Dr. D, Sheena cried, we saw two gigantic jellyfish. One of them tried to squeeze me to death.
What?
Dr. D turned to Sheena.
Giant jellyfish? What on earth is going on in these waters?
The boat lurched.
Whoa!
I cried out as I lost my balance. The boat rocked hard to one side. We all slammed against the wall.
Now what?
Sheena moaned.
Grab the rail, kids, Dr. D shouted. We're tipping over. We're about to tip some balls like we did in the 70s. Wee, Dr. D!
Chapter number 15.
The boat
heaved to one side. The huge snail slid across the floor and crashed into the wall. Tables drifted across the floor, Tokyo Drift style. Pictures fell off the wall, Tokyo tsunami style. Sheena, Dr. D, and I were pressed against the wall, like Michael Jackson style. The boat tilted until we were practically lying down, stop, drop, and roll style. What's happening? Sheena cried, black people sitcom style. Crash! The cabin door flew open, cabin in the woods style. Something thudded heavily inside. Aw, the fat boys featuring Chubby Checker do the twist style. What was that? I asked. Something's going on in my cabin. Evil Dead 2 style.
No, I'm going to stop this.
Boom, boom, boom.
Vanger Boys style. Okay, I need to stop. This is getting ridiculous.
I heard a heavy pounding sound from my room. Boom, 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 boom. Pounding in my room. We'll spend the night together, together in my...
Okay, no more Vanger Boys.
What on earth? Dr. D murmured. Sheena gulped. It sounds like some kind of monster. Boom, 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 boom. I'm gonna check it out, I said. I tried to stand, but the tilt of the boat kept me pinned to the wall. Boop, 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 boop. I can't get up, I complained. Sheena slid along the wall. Try sliding. I inched along the passageway. Sheena and Dr. D slid along behind me. I came to a closed door, the door to Sheena's cabin. I tried to step around it, but the gravity pull was too strong. I leaned against the door. Whoa! It flew open and I was about to fall in. I grabbed the door frame. Sheena's cabin floor tilted down behind me. It was like being in the funhouse of a carnival. Doesn't sound very fun. Am I right? Hold on, Billy, Dr. D said. The floor tilted like a steep hill, as if I were in a Jamiroquai video. If I let go of the door, I'd slide down the cabin floor. Then I'd have to crawl my way back up to the passage, if I could. I clung to the door frame. The gravity pulled me into Sheena's room. Help! My feet slipped out from under me. I felt the wood giving way under my fingernails. Pull yourself back up, Dr. D instructed. Don't let go. Don't ever let go of your dreams, but also of that door frame that you're landing, you're hanging on to, so you don't die. I hauled my body uphill and threw myself to the left. I felt my back slap against the passage wall. I made it past Sheena's room. Now, all I had to do was slide down the passage to my cabin. Boom, 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 boom. The pounding sound again. Inside of my cabin, the pounding sound went boom. Behind me, Sheena and Dr. D struggled past the gaping door to Sheena's cabin. At last, I reached my cabin. The pounding grew louder. Boom, 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 boom. What's going on here? I peered through the doorway to my room. My goldfish, I gasped. Oh, no! Chapter 16, baby, all right, back to beer. My goldfish bowl had smashed to the floor. My two fish lay in a puddle, flopping their tails. Two fish! At least they looked like my goldfish, but there was one difference, one huge difference. My goldfish were giganta-fucking-huge fucking big-ass fish. They filled my cabin. They were the size of small whales. Like dolphins? Right? Well, maybe not that big, but they were at least as big as me. Boom, 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 boom. They flopped on the floor, their tails pounding into the wood. They're giants, I gasped. What's going on? Sheena cried. How did everything get so big? Oh my, oh my. Dr. D muttered over and over, oh my. He seemed to be in shock. We all stared at the fish. First the minnow, then the snail, and now this. It was hard to believe. What? Yeah, it's hard to believe, but you could definitely solve world hunger. You're like the Norman Borlaug of fish rather than plants. What was happening? Why was everything suddenly growing so huge? Could I put plankton in my dick hole and make that grow too? Only one way to find out.
I feel like I'm living in some kind of dinosaur world, I said. Only instead of dinosaurs, we're surrounded by big, giant sea creatures. Dr. D shook his head to clear it. I've got to get a grip on myself. We've got a big problemos here, aquí. Huge problems, Sheena added.
She didn't really add. She said that. It didn't add anything to the conversation.
No wonder the boat's tipping over, Dr. D said. Those fish are monstrous. Their weight is pulling the boat over. My goldfish, I couldn't believe it. They look so beautiful. All golden and shiny, looking like some Magikarps flapping on the floor. You could really see them now that they were so big, nearly as big as horses. Little brown specks on their gills and their scales glittering in the sunlight that spilled through my porthole. We've got to get rid of them, Dr. D said. Otherwise, they'll tip over the boat. Don't rock the boat, don't rock the boat, mutant large fish that were enlarged by some sort of magic plankton trauma style, baby. Can we shove them through the window? Sheena asked. They're too big, Dr. D said. We'll have to haul them up to the deck somehow. And then what? I asked. Throw them overboard, Dr. D declared. We can't help them here, that's for sure. Maybe they'll be happier in the ocean, you know, because goldfish are into freshwater and the ocean's full of freshwater somewhere. Sheena reasoned. They probably hated being cooped up in that little bowl anyway. But goldfish are freshwater fish, I protested like Dune. We have no choice, Billy, Dr. D said grimly. We won't survive out here. We won't be able to sail anywhere unless we get these giant fish overboard. I knew he was right. The fish had to go. You grab the tail and I'll push from the other side, my uncle said. I tugged on the slick golden tail. It's so heavy, I grunted. The fish flopped. The tail slapped Sheena's hands. No means no. Ow, she cried. That hurt. Hold him still, Dr. D ordered. We dragged the first fish out of my room, uphill and into the passage. The snail no longer blocked our path. The snail's slime in the passage helped us slide it out. We hauled the big fish up the steps. It flopped on the deck.
Goodbye, goldfish.
You didn't even name it, dude. You clearly didn't care that much about it.
We shoved it overboard. It flipped its tail and swam away. Now we have to do it all over again, Sheena complained. And what about the snail, I said. It's even heavier than the fish. One monster at a time, Dr. D said. As soon as we dragged the other fish overboard, the boat righted itself. What a relief, Dr. D said. I can stand up straight again. And you know I'm straight because I love the ladies and occasionally some mermaids and occasionally some full-on fish and dudes. I'm beat. Sheena whined. This has been the worst day of my life. We started back down below. The boat looked like the set of a disaster movie. Broken glass everywhere. Pools of water. Floors and walls streaked with white slime. And the giant snail sitting in the corner. What are we going to do about him? Sheena asked. Dr. D sighed heavily. Let's just leave him for now. He can chill out and smoke on some of this. I slipped on a puddle of slime on my way to the cabin. My cabin, what a mess. It looked as if a giant had come, turned it upside down, and shaken it. I headed for the closet to get a mop. I stopped and dropped and opened a pop and got shot by a cop. I thought I heard something. I listened. Yes, footsteps up on deck. Dr. D, I called. Right here, Billy, he answered. He was busy cleaning up his lab. Sheena popped out of her cabin. Did you hear that? She asked. I nodded. Someone's up on deck. Dr. D came out of the lab, wiping his hands on a towel. He glanced at me, then at Sheena. Then he looked up toward the ceiling. If we're all down here, he began, then who is walking up there? We crept up the stairs and stepped out on deck. The afternoon sun beat down on us. I don't see it, I said. Look behind you, boomed a deep voice. We turned around. There stood three men. Three
total strangers. Wait, didn't this happen last time we were on his boat? That just three random dudes just were there? Or a group of random dudes? I don't know. We'll figure it out. We'll go on to one more chapter.
I thought I was gonna stop at 16, but I'll go to 17.
And shout out to me. Alright, me, Dune. I deserve credit. I worked my ass off on this, and not many people listen, and it's fucking great, okay? Someone owes me. I don't know what they owe me. I don't know why I keep doing this, but I'm gonna finish. Alright, that's the shout out for this one. Me. Work my ass off on this shit. Spending goddamn hours and days on it. Fucking ridiculous. The three men stood side by side, wearing shorts, button-down shirts, and boating shoes like Dune used to before he switched to either sandals or sambas. The man who had spoken was tall and thin, with glasses and longish brown hair. On his left stood a burly, sunburned blonde man. Alright, alright, alright. On the right, a curly-haired guy with a long, beaky nose on a bird-like face. Ah, he must be the Jewish fella. He probably does the accounting in this gang. I'd never seen any of them before. What are they doing on the boat? Dr. D cleared his throat. I like when it rhymes. May I help you? The tall man spoke. I hope we didn't frighten you. I'm sorry to barge aboard like this, but we were worried. Are you in trouble? We saw your boat tilting dangerously to one side and became alarmed. Dr. D chuckled, trying to act casual. We hit some rough water, he lied, but everything is all right now, as you can see. Where did these guys come from? Oh, one of them probably like Israel. I wondered. I stepped to the edge of the deck and saw a motorboat tied up to the side. I was afraid you were going to tip over, the man said. We thought we would have to rescue you. Nah, we're fine now, aren't we, kids? Dr. D insisted. Fine, I blurted out. What about... Dr. D squeezed my shoulder. Hard. I shut my mouth. Why was Dr. D acting as if everything were okay? Okay? Because, when the goldfish blew up into the monsters, everything is not okay. Just like Gerard Way. It was very kind of you to come and help. Dr. D let go of my shoulder, finally. I rubbed it. My pleasure, the tall man smiled. I'm glad there's no trouble. Always happy to help a fellow sailor. He offered his right hand. I'm Dr. Ritter. These are my assistants, Mel Mason and Adam Brown. Mel was the burly blonde one. Adam was the curly-haired beaky one.
Obviously his name was Adam, am I right?
Dr. D shook his hand. Nice to meet you. I'm Dr. George Deep. This is my nephew, Billy, and my niece, Sexy Sheena. Hi, kids. Wow, they look like good, strong swimmers. Dr. D grinned. They are. What kind of doctor are you, Dr. Deep? Dr. Ritter asked. A surgeon on vacation? Dr. D shook his head. Nah, I'm a sexologist. I kid, I'm a marine biologist. The Cassandra is my floating laboratory. Really? He asked. A fellow scientist, wonderful. Dr. Ritter began to stroll around the deck, gazing at the ropes and equipment. His assistants followed him. I've got a floating lab myself, Dr. Ritter told us, not far from here, as a matter of fact. He sucked in a big breath of salty air and patted his chest. Ah, yes. We marine biologists are a noble bunch, don't you think, Dr. Deep? Studying the mysteries of the sea. It's the last true frontier on Earth, I always say. Dr. D trailed after him. Yeah, the final frontier. These are the voyages of the seaboat Cassandra. He agreed. What are you working on, if I may ask? Dr. Ritter said. Dr. D cleared his throat. Oh, I've got a couple of projects going. I can't really talk about them now, Dr. Ritter. They're in the early stages. I'm sure you understand. The three strangers paused by the ladder where the boat was tied. Yes, indeed. I guess we should be leaving, Dr. Ritter said. I'm glad you're all safe. Thanks for stopping by to help, Dr. D said. Dr. Ritter put his hand on the ladder, then he stopped. By the way, you haven't seen anything strange in the waters around here lately, have you? Strange? Dr. D asked. What do you mean?
Odd fish? Unusual creatures? Anything like that? Odd fish? I couldn't hold it in any longer. You fucking idiot. Shut your mouth at the evil scientist doctor. We see all kinds of weird stuff, I gushed. My goldfish turned into giants, and we saw a huge jellyfish bigger than a car. Ow! Something sharp poked me in the ribs. My uncle's elbow. Whoops. I'm sorry to hear that, Dr. Ritter said. Yes, it was really scary. I agreed. Ow! Dr. D's elbow again. What'd you do that for? He frowned at me. What? I thought, what'd I do this time? God, he just wondered like a little bitch. Billy is just joking, joshing around, you know what I'm saying, Dr. D assured him. He played nervously with his glasses. Dr. Ritter said, joking? You weren't really joking, were you, Billy? Well, I gazed up at Dr. D. I didn't know what to say. I'm really sorry, Dr. Ritter repeated. I'm sorry you saw those creatures, Billy, because now I can't let you go. Huh? I gasped. What are you talking about? You've seen too much, Dr. Ritter replied solemnly, and now I have to decide what to do with you. He snapped his fingers. The two assistants moved in. Fucking Billy! God damn it. Alright, so ends part one of Deep Trouble 2 by R.L. Stein on Dune Reads Goosebumps. Okay. If this doesn't veer into Mermaid Zone, oh god damn it, are they going to be saved by the mermaids this time? Like the mermaids from last time are going to come in and swoop onto the deck and attack the... God, God damn it, this could go so poorly. All right, let's not stress out about it. We only have 2.5 more Goosebumps that we have to go through, right? What is this pop-up on Connie's computer about football? Dear God. Oh, well, anyway. I'm Dune, you know where to reach me. I make podcasts. I guess I just do this one now. It doesn't matter. Either way, stay spooky, bitches.